960 Pinder on Twitter. This is Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
Six, and it's all things hockey from now until 10 o'clock. We'll turn our attention to the Kootenay Ice and Calgary Hitmen in about 20 minutes' time. As we get set up for what's turned into a best of five, give Kootenay credit, they've stolen home ice. But the Hitmen can return the favor with a win in the next two nights. And that rivalry just keeps getting better.
Kootenay sucks!
That's what they chant at the Dome. Also, want to get your thought on what number gets the Flames into the playoffs. How many points do you need? Is it 96? Is it 97? Is it more? Is it less? Tell me why. And I'm looking at that Kings schedule. They've got the Canucks, the Flames, and four other teams that are not in the playoffs. Are you convinced the Kings will actually miss the postseason? We'll get to those before 10 o'clock. But right now, we go down the Lube City Mobile One Sportsnet hotline to say hello to Chris Peters of CBS Sports. Morning, Chris.
Morning. How are you?
This is an exciting time in Calgary. I don't know exactly where your allegiances lie or how closely you've followed this story, but this Calgary Flames team that gets outchanced quite regularly and was expected to be in the McDavid-Eichel Bowl is right there in the third and final playoff spot in the Pacific Division, not even a wild card.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, I've obviously, you know, just following the NHL, it's one of the great stories of the season. It's one of the most interesting things that we've seen. Obviously, I think this is crazier than the Avalanche run last year that everybody was, just up in arms about. Just how can this be happening? But really, this was, I think, even less expected. You look at Johnny Gaudreau. Obviously, is a great addition to the team, but was that going to be enough to put them over the hump? Everybody knew about Brody and Giordano. Those are the things that we knew, but the goaltending wasn't a sure thing. The off-season additions weren't sure things. It was just a crazy, crazy start to the year. And now, to be at this point, when everybody said, this isn't going to last, they're still there. And then Giordano goes down, this isn't going to last, and they're still there. So they won't go away, and it's great. I mean, I think when things happen that go against everything you think you know about hockey, that's when it's the most fun.
Yeah, they are defying a lot of the logic. Where do you come out on sort of possession numbers versus, the will of a club to win? I know there's some people that find themselves entrenched in one camp or another, others that find some middle ground. The advanced numbers don't like the Calgary Flames. They love the Kings, and yet here we are, 77, 76 games in if you're the Flames and Kings?
Yeah, I know it's crazy. I'm in the middle. I think I definitely value the advanced metrics and the possession numbers and the things that they tell us about teams. But it seems like every once in a while there's going to be a team that comes along that just defies those numbers. And we talk about luck and good fortune and things like that. And there's an element to that, but I also think there is a lot to be said about effort. There's a lot to be said about having good leaders and having good coaching and just things coming together at the right time. It's a combination of things. You really can't, there's really no right way to follow hockey. It's just all however you decide that you value most is what you value. And I'm of the mind where, when things like this happen, there is an element of that, that effort, the will to win, I guess, as we've heard talked about so often. It is really a real thing. Some teams can do it, and everything else has to kind of come together as well. So they do need a little bit of luck on their side. But with the way that the Flames have done this year, and, over an 82-game season, you can't just be lucky all the time. And that's, I don't think they have been. I think they have some great skill players. You love what you're seeing out of Sean Monahan, his maturation from one year to the next, and having an opportunity to put together another just gigantic goal scoring season. And Gaudreau, clearly a Calder candidate. The skill level of those guys, and you think about the future of the team being so bright. What happens next year when they make a few more additions and possibly bring in Sam Bennett and get Giordano healthy? And, those are all the things that make you wonder. Maybe there's a little bit more to this than maybe they don't take as big a step back as, say, the Colorado Avalanche did this year. So a lot to figure out, but I think most people are more concerned right now about just getting into the playoffs and possibly enjoying a postseason in Calgary.
Well, we like getting you on because you're our set of eyes where we don't have a lot of eyes in this country. We're so focused on Major Junior, and rightfully so, with the number of players it churns out into good pros. But a bit of an oversight perhaps by a lot of us is what's going on south of the border. What were your expectations for Johnny Gaudreau coming into his first full NHL campaign? He got that one game in last year as the Flames were courteous enough to gas year one on that entry-level contract. But he probably should have won the Hobey Baker, I thought, in his sophomore year and was the runaway winner last year as a junior. What did you expect from him this year?
Well, I expected him to make the team. I expected him to be a contributor, but I don't know that I expected him to be a Calder Trophy candidate. I've seen Gaudreau, the first live viewing I had of him was when he was in Dubuque in the USHL. And, that first time I saw him, I was like, holy smokes, this kid is special. He moves up just the way that he handled the puck. I said, there's not many people in the world that can do what he does with the puck. And at his age and with his hockey brain, I figured that he would be able to make instant contributions. I don't know if I thought they'd be this great just because of that gigantic jump from college to the pros. But he's been playing against older, stronger players for, 4 years now, where he was in the USHL and was one of the smallest guys there, went to college, was one of the smallest guys there, and just continued to exceed expectations. So I learned very early on not to, underestimate him just because of how good he is and how skilled he is. I don't think that I could have predicted that he was going to be a, possible Calder Trophy winner and one of the best players on a potential playoff team. But that's where we're at. And I guess the sky is the limit. I can't wait to see what he does next year and the year after that. I think the best is yet to come for this guy.
What do you think the cutoff is in the West? And have you sort of looked at those numbers? Right now, LA has 6 games remaining. They're at 88 points. Their schedule is favorable for whatever that's worth, and we have seen some big teams hiccup against some lower-seeded teams a ton in the last few weeks. So you might toss the schedule, you might not. But certainly, there's a lot of win-able games for the Kings. What's the magic number for points in your mind, or have you done that exercise in what might be futility?
I haven't crunched the numbers, but as you were mentioning earlier, I think, 98 points seems like a good spot to start, and just because of that easy schedule that the Kings have. The Flames have a chance to, take 2 points from them at some point there. And then, you just have to continue winning. It's not an easy schedule ahead for any team, really, when you have that added pressure, especially if you're not used to it, haven't been a part of that. All these games are important. But I think we saw last night with Calgary, just coming away and battling throughout that whole game and then finally holding on and really – could have easily lost that one, but again, it's just they find that way to get those points. And so, I think 98 probably is a good number. I think you want to try and win as many as you can here, just because the Kings could go on a run, but they did not look great against the Blackhawks last night. That was a thorough win for Chicago, and really, you just wonder at what point is the Kings magic going to run out here? I don't know. We all keep assuming that they're going to make it, but I don't think that's a safe assumption anymore.
We're chatting with Chris Peters of CBSSports.com. He covers the NHL, college hockey, all things hockey on the website. He joins us on the Lube City Mobile One Sportsnet Hotline. Mobile One, the official motor oil of NASCAR and Lube City Express Oil Change. We had you on a couple weeks ago, and I asked you about some college free agents, and I think we went on and on about Matt O'Connor, who's still playing and has not signed. And I didn't even ask you about maybe who some other top candidates were. And it was only days later that we saw the Flames sign Kenny Morrison. He posted 3 points in his AHL debut on Saturday night. He was named the first star. And the offensively gifted and large defenseman, I'm a little embarrassed I didn't ask you about him. So, we only talked about one college free agent. How silly of us.
Yeah, well, Kenny Morrison's been a guy that, I've followed a bit more. He was one of the guys that looked like he could potentially come out last season, and I thought he was actually better last season than he was this year at Western Michigan. That has been a defenseman factory, he's not there anymore, but their assistant coach Pat Furschweiler was the guy that really spent a lot of time with Danny DeKeyser. Matt Tennyson's another guy that ended up signing Luke Witkowski in the Tampa Bay organization. They have really become an NHL defenseman factory. And so Kenny Morrison's been getting some great development, and Furschweiler actually now with the Grand Rapids Griffins in the AHL. So now the Red Wings are getting his defensive expertise, but that you can see that he was well-schooled, good two-way guy, good size. You know, he definitely has NHL upside. Had a down year this year, as I mentioned, but really, you know, a raw prospect who can be molded into an NHL defenseman, I think.
Interesting. Other big names out there, we'll touch O'Connor in a moment, but it sounds like Austin Zarnik, a guy I got to see at World Junior Challenge, which is, a 19 and under tournament. I should say 17, 18 under. Some teams send 19s from around the world. He was a star for an American team that won that tournament a few years ago. He's going to Boston, that's right?
Yeah, Boston, yeah. And one of my favorite prospects, I've been beating the Austin Zarnik drum since he was a second-year draft eligible. And a really good player. And obviously the Bruins have had success with undersized free agents like they did with Torrey Krug. So it's a good signing for them, and a guy that I think a lot of teams slept on and could have drafted not only once but twice and didn't get there.
Sounds like get yourself a glass of water there, Chris. The Oilers have got a commitment from Matt O'Connor that he's going to come visit. He is the free agent goalie to be. He's playing with Boston University. They're still alive and have a very intriguing matchup with North Dakota coming up, not this weekend, but the following Thursday in the Frozen Four from Boston, where it's going to be like a absolute home event for BU if they can keep winning. All they need is two to raise a trophy. What is O'Connor and who else is in the mix if the Oilers are one he's committed to visit?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Buffalo has already voiced interest, and it sounds like they'd be willing to offer him immediate playing time to burn the ELC, which I think is going to be, they're not going to have much time to make it happen with him playing in the Frozen Four. But, I'm not exactly sure. I'd have to look at when their last game is with the opportunity to do that. But there's not a lot of time for that since Boston University extend their season. In terms of what he is, you know, I don't know if he's a starter at the NHL level, but he's certainly going to provide NHL depth in an organization. He's going to have an opportunity to develop a bit more. He's a big kid, 6'5", you know, fills out the net extremely well, very calm between the pipes, has gotten a lot of work over the last 2 years. Less work this year because BU actually turned into a possession monster when Jack Eichel was on the ice, but a really solid prospect, a young, you know, still has time to grow into his frame a little bit, and a guy that I think could make it to the NHL, but probably not as a number one.
Interesting. Who else is out there for big fish amongst the college free agent crop, or is it now the big boys are taken aside from Morrison, or excuse me, O'Connor?
Yeah, I think most of the big guys are gone. Casey Bailey was a big one that the Toronto Maple Leafs just signed, and Morrison was probably the top defenseman available this year. Evan Rodriguez from Boston University should get a lot of interest. He played on a line with Jack Eichel this year, and was the best player for BU in the last in their regionals. So he's a guy that's out there still that could go. There are obviously going to be a lot more lesser known guys that'll probably get picked up, flyers taken on. They're free prospects. They don't cost, you know, draft picks or anything like that. It's just a contract. So teams that have the contracts available will take shots at guys. I think that's something that Boston did with Zarnik. I don't know if he would have had a ton of interest just because of his size, but a guy that kind of like a Tyler Johnson kind of type, where he's a good two-way kid, even though he's a bit undersized and has offense. You know, so they're going to be looking for those guys that are a little more mature, a little bit, you know, don't need as much time in the AHL, or they're just looking for guys to fill out AHL depth. That's the other benefit of these cheap prospects. So, I think the biggest guys are gone. Everybody's going to be watching O'Connor. He's the guy that most teams want. I think, you know, the interest has been pegged at around, you know, a half dozen teams, or at least a dozen teams that have interest. So he's going to be the guy to watch, and he's the big fish this year. I mean, it's kind of everybody's after him, and it'll be really interesting to see where he ends up.
We've got a Frozen Four. We gave all the karma we had to Nate Lehman. We had him on a couple of weeks ago, I guess last week, before they won Saturday and Sunday over top-seeded Miami in the region. And then DU, who are no slouches, they're through to the Frozen Four. They'll see UNO, that's Omaha, on Thursday, the same time BU and North Dakota go head-to-head. The winners will play Saturday night, which is the final day of the NHL regular season. So if you get to the finals, you're not going to get signed and play an NHL game. You probably have to lose that Thursday game to get into NHL silks and burn a year off an NHL contract in the case of O'Connor or anyone else. What do you make of the Final Four matchup? To me, it's got underdogs on one side and heavy favorites on the other.
Yeah, it's, the way it worked out is pretty good for the guys on the other side of the bracket. With Providence playing Nebraska-Omaha, that's a NCHC Hockey East matchup, and obviously the way John Billy's played in the regional was he was outstanding. I thought he was a huge difference maker for Providence, let them play with a lot of confidence. He was so calm, cool, and collected. Even when they nearly blew the game against Miami, he came back the next day and just absolutely shut down Denver, which is a great offensive team with a lot of weapons. And I thought that was such a great bounce back effort for him. So that I like Providence's opportunity here. I think that it's going to be a great goaltending battle. Ryan Massa for Omaha has had a fantastic year, so I think he's going to be a great adversary for Gillies. And then on the other side, you've got Boston University and North Dakota, two of the historically great programs in Boston. North Dakota fans travel extremely well, so don't expect them to be too quiet in Boston, even though it's going to be a home game for the Terriers, essentially. But that's just a great college hockey matchup. It's historic. It's got, you know, multiple national championships for both programs. It is, you know, kind of a dream matchup, I think, for what you would want to see. But it's going to be a real tough one for Jack Eichel and the boys at BU, because North Dakota is one of the best defensive teams in the country. They have a great goaltender in Zane McIntyre. So actually, all four goalies have missed the Frozen Four outstanding. So it's going to be really fun to watch. And I think it's going to be an absolutely great weekend for college hockey, and I can't wait. It's hard to wait a couple more weeks here for it, but it'll be great when it does finally go down.
Yeah, you mentioned it, four good goalies, and geez, if they had to pick a new name for the sport, you could call it goalie on many nights. We saw that with Providence. Are you under the assumption that John Gillies signs when Providence is done? Is there any point in returning for a senior season, given the accomplishments he's already got in 3 years of college hockey?
Yeah, I think especially making the Frozen Four here, it should make his decision a lot easier. I don't see much benefit for him going back. I think it was good that he did go back for his junior year. Most players that play in college hockey, they tend to have more success if they stay for 3 years. And him having done that, getting the reps that he did, playing in the big-time games that he's played in, I think that he's ready to make the jump. And I'm sure, you know, he'll be able to contribute to the Flames organization pretty quickly, at least at the AHL level, and get more reps. But, you know, he's looking much more polished than he did when I first saw him in the USHL. Just a goalie that has really matured over his time in college, and certainly one that looks pro-ready.
Good stuff, Chris. That is pretty cool. And, geez, it doesn't look like there's a lot of what you would call star netminders clogging the system in Calgary. Ramo and Hiller have taken turns looking good and then fumbling the starter's role. Yoni Ortio has missed the last quarter of the season with injury. Mason McDonald, the young kid they drafted, is still a ways away playing his, 18-year-old year in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. I mean, this is a real opportunity for Gillies in the organization, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a great situation for him. I thought it was great eye by Calgary to find, you know, to get him in the USHL when he didn't necessarily have the Mondo numbers that you would want to see, but there was obviously a moldable prospect there. And I think Providence has done an absolutely outstanding job getting him ready for that next step. And I think he'll be a guy that, you know, hopefully could mature into that goaltender that could be the number one guy in the future. I think he's got starter upside. So it's just a matter of him kind of finding the rest of his game and rounding out the little bit that he has left to kind of smooth out those rough edges. And I think he's going to be an outstanding young goaltender.
Great insights, Chris. So what are you working on the website these days?
Oh, boy, everything. We got some power rankings coming up. We got plenty of stuff from around hockey, and I'm looking forward to putting together the Frozen Four preview, which will be out next week before the tournament. So, always good to write about college hockey on the national stage there. And obviously we're going to be following the playoff races. So No shortage of content over at CBSSports.com. So we're looking forward to continuing that as we head into the playoffs here.
It's a great time of year. Thank you for joining us, and enjoy the dregs of the hockey seasons as we warm up for the NHL playoffs.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ryan.
All right, that is Chris Peters of CBSSports.com. I don't know if there's a better guy we've had on to just bend the ear regarding a league and, I guess, what, five or six leagues? We don't follow very much north of the border, and to get some insights on. And, hey, you can't just ignore them anymore. Look at Kenny Morrison, first star in his first pro game with the Adirondack Flames. If you have to rank their goaltending prospects, John Gillies is right up there. You've got a first rounder sitting and waiting in Providence, growing, developing, let's hope. So always good to get his insights. We'll come back, switch gears from college to major junior as the Hitmen are on the road. Game 3 in Cranbrook tonight, game 4 tomorrow. Yes, back-to-back on the road. Kind of sounds like the big club that plays at the Saddle Dome. They got 2 wins. The Hitmen would love to duplicate that success, replicate the results, and we'll come back with some audio as the Hitmen gathered all their items, packed their bags, and hit the road into the East Kootenays yesterday. That game coming up tonight, so we'll look at it a little closer, the ice and the Hitmen, as well as everything else going on WHL-wise, and some Flames prospects in the O and the Q still playing. That's next on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Ryan Pinder in the morning, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's a Tuesday, right, Jay? Tuesday? This is a weekday? What day is this? Flames have won back-to-back games on the road. It's something the Hitmen would love to do as well. They're in game 3 tonight in Cranbrook. Big game. We've got your call. Curl, Thrower, the crew at 7. And we even have a special one-hour pregame show getting you set, as this is one of the better rivalries in the WHL. Our very own Josh Humphries had a chance to catch up with Adam Tambellini, the hero from Game 2. Of course, scored the OT winner that tied the series, turning it into a best of 5 with Kootenay holding home ice. And Josh and Tambo, little chat here about what lies ahead in this series in Game 3 tonight.
Adam, I guess I'll start by just looking back at the first 2 games of this series. I guess just your sense on how things have gone in a 1-1 tie so far.
Yeah, it's been a tight couple of games. Both teams have had their ups and downs through the first couple of games here, and that was huge for us last night to get that win and have some confidence going into Kootenay.
After game 1, I guess kind of what was going through this team's mindset, especially knowing what happened last year and then losing the first game of this series, was there any panic or worry, concern at all in that room?
No, I don't think so. We had a very different team from last year, and very two different situations for sure. And I don't think we played well enough. I think we shot ourselves in the foot a little bit in the first game, and we came out in the second game a little better, but I still think we have more to prove.
Just take us, I guess, through that overtime for you. It was a little bit of a long overtime, just about a full period, but then you eventually get the winner. Kind of just walk us through that play.
Yeah, the puck was kind of stuck on the wall a bit. Popped out to me, tried to grab it, got hooked a little bit, and ended up shooting through a stick, and I was lucky it went in.
What does that do for confidence, I guess, for the rest of the series, for you to get a goal like that, just even a huge overtime winning goal for you, to know that you still have the offensive ability here in the playoffs?
Yeah, that's good. This time of year, it doesn't really matter who's scoring or anything, but for me, it was nice just to get one, and hopefully there's more to come in the rest of the series.
Now that you guys are going on the road here, it's a 1-1 tie. Obviously, that's huge that you're able to tie this series. But does anything change for you guys, the way you're going to play? You obviously don't have the first change or last change, excuse me, anymore. But anything else going to change?
I don't think so. We're pretty used to going to play in Kootenay. We see him a lot, during the regular season. We've won a couple times there before, so it's pretty familiar ground over there, and I think we should be fine.
When you see what they're doing, after the first 2 games, do you start to notice kind of how they're trying to shut you guys down, especially a guy like you, the leading scorer goals on this team? Do you see maybe they're trying to shut you down, or do you kind of notice what they're trying to do so far?
Yeah, I don't know if they're specifically just going on me or my line. They've done a pretty good job of playing pretty tight to all 4 of our lines, and They got some really skilled forwards over there that are trying to make us pay on our mistakes. So, they're an opportunist team, and I know we've got to limit their opportunities.
I guess is the key to getting to the goaltender, Wyatt Hoffland, over there. Obviously, you talked about still having more to offer. I mean, what's kind of the key for you guys to start making life a little more difficult for him?
You know, I think any goalie will tell you they don't like when people are in front of them. So, try to get a lot of traffic, get pucks at his feet, try to get some rebounds, and try to keep it simple around him. He's a pretty good goalie, so we got to get a lot of traffic on him.
You talked about line shuffling there, and obviously in game two, your line kind of got shuffled around a little bit like that. Is that something that, when it happens mid-game, does it throw you off at all? Or, I mean, there's so much talent on this team and so much depth. Does it really make a difference?
We juggled quite a bit during the season. So, everyone's pretty familiar with playing with a lot of different people. And, when Kornikov jumped up on our line, he's been playing really well. And I think he complimented me and Rankin's game pretty well. And, for him, he plays pretty simple, pretty hard down low, heavy on the puck, so he's a good player to play with.
Yeah, and you talk about Kornikov. I mean, a three-point game, assisting on the winner and scoring the two in regulation. I mean, just a huge game for a guy like that to come out in his first playoff series in the WHL.
Yeah, he's been improving all season long. I think he led our team in power play goals this year, and that's huge for you forget how young that kid is, and to see what he's doing is it's impressive.
Finally, for you, the goaltending change, obviously in game two, Brendenburg comes out and Max Shields goes in. Does that throw the team off, or is that some again that just kind of you guys just go with the flow, knowing that both goalies have the ability to win games?
No, we're very confident both our goalies, and either one of those goals were Berkey's fault, really. He played them pretty well. It's just the first one was a tough bounce, and the second was a 3-on-1. It's pretty hard to stop those. So, I think we just wanted to need a little bit of a shakeup, and Shieldsy came in and played very well for us.
I guess if it's one last question for you going in the road here, what does the team have to do to get the series lead and come back home for Game 5 with the lead in the series?
I think we just got to focus on us. Kootenay plays pretty well in their home rink. They feed off their fans and the atmosphere in there. So, for us, just keep it simple, do what we do, and I think we'll be okay.
Thanks a lot for this time.
Thank you.
All right, that is Humphreys with Adam Tambellini, your hero from game two, winning that one in overtime 3-2. This is not going to be an easy series. It's not going away anytime soon, and we know there'll be at least five. Don't be surprised if it goes six or seven, and we've got the next three all on the mighty Sportsnet 960 as the times work well. Games one and two, didn't go that way. We had Flames games the exact same time as both of those contests, whereas games three and four, very different story. Game five as well. So we've got Tuesday, that's today. Wednesday, that's tomorrow. And Friday as well. All three, if I'm correct, 7 o'clock starts, two in Cranbrook, one in Calgary. And all three, we've got a 1 hour pregame show with Humphreys, Curl, and the rest of that crew as they, try to get through this first round against Kootenay, something that was not done last year. I probably don't have to remind you Hitmen fans, of that. Elsewhere, WHL, we will see the Brandon Wheat Kings with a chance to put a stranglehold on the Edmonton Oil Kings tonight. That is game four of that series. Brandon already up two games to one, after Edmonton won game one. That is from Edmonton tonight. Swift Current and Regina get going as well at 7 o'clock. That in Swift Current, they're down 2-bagel to the Pats. And elsewhere, Red Deer, Medicine Hat, it's all Tigers early. They've won their first two in dramatic fashion, a one-goal game, and then an overtime 1-0 win. Now, though, the scene switches to Red Deer. The Rebels will look to keep that home ice theme continuing. Talk about the OHL, what's going on with Sam Bennett, the kid that we've all penciled in for 80 goals and 190 points next year to win the Calder Trophy and break Timo Solani's rookie scoring record. What's he up to? Well, the Kingston Frontenac, they are in tough. They've lost their first two of that series to the North Bay Battalion. It will be their first home game, though, as the first two were in North Bay. They go tonight. That is a 7 Eastern start with Bennett setting up their only two goals that they've scored in the playoffs. They were blanked 8-0 and then lost 3-2, but they're coming home. I don't know where you're at if you're a Flames fan. I'm probably thinking you're saying, you know what, fun cheering for Kingston, but yeah, just going to be selfish, and why don't they get KO'd early and we'll get Sam Bennett in Calgary? Be pretty nice, wouldn't it? We've all talked about Monahan, Bennett, Backlund down the middle and what that could be like down the road. I don't know if we thought we'd see it in early April. That's possible. Now, don't write Kingston off, but certainly there is a possibility that after all the hand-wringing and the time that we saw him practicing with the club, and now he's out of a contact, you can hit him in practice, and is he going to stay or is he going to go, and what about 10 games and the entry-level contract? Do we play him? What do we do? Well, he might be back the same year that you thought maybe he was gone. We'll take a break when we come back. Your thoughts on the text line 960-960. We're asking what that magic number is for points for the Flames. And are you convinced the Kings could actually miss the playoffs? I'm going to read you their schedule as we go to break. You tell me how the best team in hockey over the last 3 years, two Stanley Cup championships, the team that was down 3-0 to San Jose, and the team that picked up 6 points in four nights in New Jersey, New York, and on Long Island, how are they going to fumble this one away? Now, they do have to play catch-up. They got a game in hand, and they're three back at Calgary. But here's the schedule for the Kings coming down the stretch. Oilers at home. Avs at home. At Vancouver, at Edmonton, Flames Kings, April 9th. Boy, that's a gem. If you have any leverage with tickets in Calgary, that is the game you want. There's only a couple left. That's you, everything you've got. Put it in a pile, melt it down, sell it for scrap, get to that game. Kings Flames. That could be the season. And then LA closes out with San Jose, who will be thoroughly eliminated and right. Yeah, they'll be laying out the TNT at the base of the foundation of that organization by the time LA plays them for that final game of the season. San Jose's not going to be boring. They're not going to sit pat and run with the same crew that they did this year or the year before when we expected big changes last summer. Remember? Oh, big changes come. No, you really didn't do anything. You took a letter off a player's jersey. Guess what? Didn't fix anything. In fact, the results have been worse. So there'll be big changes there, and I would expect that for the Kings, there might not be a better team than San Jose to face that last game of the year. Sure, they're skilled, but they'll be out of it and waiting for the impending doom of the offseason. We'll break 960-960 on the text line. You're up next. It's Hey Dummy on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Get connected. Text 960-960 to get your voice heard. Ryan Pinder in the morning on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
About 10 minutes to go. We've got a couple days to relax. I know how back-to-backs can take it out of you. And with the Flames taking care of business the last two nights, maybe a little less tense holding that remote than it would have been if they dropped a couple points in Dallas or only got one in Nashville, whatever the case may be. Now you get to sit back and watch. And we've got some gems on the TV tonight. Before we get there, how rude of me to not update what's going on in Charlottetown and Oshawa. We told you about Sam Bennett, but Hunter Smith and the Generals up 2-0 on Peterborough. What a series rivalry that is. Hunter Smith, 2 points in two games. And Mason McDonald and his Charlottetown club up on Sherbrooke, 2-1. McDonald's played in two of them. So, you know, just for going to go out east, we may as well finish it right. NHL schedule tonight is a absolute gem. We will have two playoff races, obviously, that we've all focused in on, East and West, and tonight's action will certainly affect what those look like tomorrow. We'll start out East, and that's where most of the action is in terms of the playoff games and their implications on the playoffs, I should say, those games. Boston hosts Florida. This is a 5 o'clock start, and I believe you're going to be able to watch this one on the old Sportsnet West at 5 o'clock local time. Bruins have got Krejci back. They've got Spooner, Pasternak, and Lucic. That line is rolling. Getting a little better. They pulled away from Ottawa after it looked like the Sens were in the driver's seat. And they host Florida tonight. Florida is 4 back. Games played are even. So you got to figure, if Boston can win this in regulation, break out the shovels, we'll throw dirt on the Panthers. They're done. You cannot be 6 back with 5 to play and realistically think that you're going to get in. And I think there is one more Boston-Florida clash down the line. It's the second to last game of the year, that Thursday the 9th, where all these big games are piling up. Kings Flames that night, too. So Florida does have, if you look at that 4-point gap, that's it right there. You got two games against Boston, you're four back, you play Boston twice. One of those is tonight. Win them both, and the rest is just a straight up who's better on the rest of their schedule, in or out. Now, what complicates matters is it's not just a two-horse race. The Senators are still in the mix. They're three back of Boston for the final wild card and have a game in hand. Ottawa's got some tough games. They've got some gifts, but some landmines on the schedule. Tonight at Detroit. Won't be easy, but not the worst time in the world to get Detroit. They don't know who their number one is. Babcock called out Jimmy Howard late last week. They start Mrazek on Saturday. He pitches a shutout, and everyone's thinking, all right, it's the Czech kid. Remember him, the World Juniors here in Calgary? That's their guy. They're rolling with Mrazek. Pick him up. Mrazek the rest of the way. Well, they played the next day, and he got hooked. And it was back to Jimmy Howard. So it might not be a bad time to play the Red Wings in Detroit if you're the Ottawa Senators. See if we know who's starting that game. I am curious. It's also fantasy hockey playoffs, so maybe have a little invested rooting going on, depending on who's in net. I picked up old Pete Mrazek. Babcock said that he's going to be our guy down the stretch. See if they've confirmed as much today. Mrazek is in. There you are, confirmed. Huh. Isn't that interesting? Andrew Hammond, maybe, or is he hurt? Craig Anderson, maybe, or is he good enough against Peter Mrazek? So that's the other big game out east, Sens and Wings from Detroit. Out west, the one game that obviously all eyes will be on is the Winnipeg Jets hosting the New York Rangers. Now, we saw what happened with LA losing last night in Chicago. Flames with a victory, pulled away, they get a little more breathing room, and that's exactly the situation the Jets are in tonight. Not easy, you've got the New York Rangers, but not unlike the Detroit Red Wings. I don't know that the Rangers are really comfy with where their net minding is at yet. And why would they be? You know, you've only had Henrik Lundqvist back for, what, one start? He didn't look good, but then you put Talbot in, and he didn't really look that good in his next start. So back to Henrik Lundqvist they go. He's going to play a lot down the stretch. You'd think more about getting him into form for the postseason than about winning that Metro crown. It looks like that's kind of wrapped up. Pittsburgh's six back. Same with the Islanders. Those two teams have completely hit a wall in the last 20 games. So the Rangers are probably going to win that division. Maybe not the conference, but they've got the Metro wrapped up. It's about getting Henrik Lundqvist right. That's what they need to do before the playoffs. Never mind, you got to win X in a row. We got to chase down Montreal or Tampa. No. Just get Henrik right. Because if you do that, that means way more than getting in as a one seed and not knowing who your number one is. You've got to get Lundqvist playing well. He'll be in against Pavlich, who I had written off midseason. Somehow he's pulled it together and put together some performances down the stretch. Is it enough to make you confident and call Pavlich the starter for the next few years? Absolutely not. But you ride the hot hand right now. Hutchinson is not. Pavlich is. And so the Jets will ride him tonight, knowing that a win would give them a 4-point cushion on the LA Kings. Whew. Kings would hold a game in hand, but again, 4 points this time of year. LA's got six left. That's a huge opportunity for Winnipeg, and we know they've got some other tough games coming up. Rangers won't be easy, but that the other juicy one on tap tonight. Other games in the NHL that are less consequential, Tampa-Toronto. I suppose if you're a Lightning backer, you can see this as an opportunity to hurdle the Habs and get into top spot in the conference, and maybe even a threat for Anaheim in the overall, but I think the Ducks probably have enough of a cushion to outlast everyone else there. Tampa would love home ice to go through them, not through Montreal. You'd understand that. And the Leafs, well, they're god-awful. We know that. Carolina-Washington, where are the Caps at? Well, they're going to have to string a few together here if they want to get into the Metro 2-3 versus that wild card spot that they're in. Right now, 92 points. That's three back of both Pittsburgh and the Islanders, who have given them ample opportunity to catch them. You'd have to think Washington would love to take care of business against Carolina. But Hurricanes have been tough out the last third of the season. I don't know what it is, but they've beaten some good teams. Was it Boston the other night? They've been tough down the stretch. Cam Ward, probable. Holtby will start for Washington. The other matchups tonight, New Jersey, Columbus, who cares? Yawn next. And Vancouver, Nashville. Oh, I wish I could tell you that this is the time that Vancouver goes in the dump, but they have not. They have not slipped. They've lost Ryan Miller. They lost Bieksa for a while. They were without Chris Tanev for a bit. They just keep winning. 6-3-1 in their last 10. That's 13 of a possible 20, and that's enough to probably make them heavy favorites to have home ice in the Pacific. Calgary, 2 points back, but the Canucks also have a game in hand. Nashville is hosting this one, but that's not as scary as it once was. Nashville at home, the best team in the league for the bulk of the season, but in the last month, very ordinary on home ice. And could you see the Predators losing again on home ice? I don't know. We'll see. This will be interesting. I would suggest they don't go back to Carter Hutton. Wasn't really that sharp against the Flames. Very quickly, the Blue Jays in action again today. They've got the Phillies. That's an 11:07 first pitch. They're hosting them in Dunedin at Florida Auto Exchange Park, or whatever they call it. Sounds like that roster is pretty much done. No major surprises today in terms of who's made it, who's not. We knew they were going to have a young bullpen. They do. It sounded like they're going to run with two catchers. They are, as they'll start Toley, the caddy for Dickey in AAA, and let Russell Martin have the chance to catch the knuckleballer. And they've announced their starter. It'll be Drew Hutchison on opening day in New York. That's Monday up against Tanaka. Not R.A. Dickey, as they have a chance to tweak the schedule and get more starts for him in a dome out of the start of the year when they get back to Toronto. So they're clearly looking at the schedule, trying to find the right places for Dickey to pitch. And Hutchison's been good in the spring. Is he an ace? You probably hope you don't have to count on him being an ace. But did lead the club, the staff, in strikeouts last year. His second full season coming off Tommy John, and has had a very strong spring. Let's get to the text line. We've been neglecting it. To Hey Dummy we go. Hey Dummy, jumping the gun, but Calgary versus Vancouver, how many games and who wins? You might be jumping the gun? Yeah. Look, let's just enjoy that if that arrives. And what a treat that would be. It's been 11 years since we've had Calgary versus a Canadian team in the playoffs. And 11 years ago, it was Calgary-Vancouver when Warner and company, or should I say Mika Kiprusoff, Jerome McGinley, and some bums, started the magical run all the way to the final. What a spring that was in Calgary. We can only dream of something similar to that, Calgarians. Wouldn't that be something? Hey, Dummy. Kevin Lowe wants a shot at McDavid. No way the Kings lose twice to the Oilers. Well, the thing is, what Kevin Lowe wants usually isn't what happens. So maybe by wanting, well, give him credit. They've been playing for Todd Nelson down the stretch. I don't know that they're trying to save his job, or if they're just, they were due some luck, or if Taylor Hall healthy makes them that much better, or if they're even getting better goaltending, but they have been better, as we knew they were. They couldn't stay that bad for that long. Hey, Dummy, the Sharks might have a chance to eliminate the Kings. They're rivals. They're going to get up to play spoiler. Give your head a shake. Well, they'll get up for it, but what's happened of late when the Sharks have tried to get up for a big game? Been embarrassed. Up 3-0 against the Kings. They had four cracks at it last spring. How'd that go? Hey, Dummy, 96 points is my opinion. The row will help the Flames get in if they're tied with anyone. Boy, it's way too close this year, says the texter. Well, it is, but it could not be close at all, and you could be in 26th place. So enjoy how close it is, and enjoy how nerve-wracking it is. And maybe you need to dry clean your couch because you're sweating into it down the stretch here. It's been so tense. But that's what it's all about. As Brent said, that's why we watch sport. Not for seeing the predictable things happen, but to watch things that have no business happening right in front of our eyes. That is sport, for sure. This coming in for the second straight day this week. Hey, Dummy, Kootenay sucks. And that is hashtag Go Hitman. Yes, we know.
Hey, Dummy.
Hiller in St. Louis, the next one, that followed by Hey, Dummy. You have to think so. I don't know.
Hey, Dummy.
Why mess with what's working? And I'm not suggesting that the formula on how to win, the blueprint, will be drawn from what they did last night in Dallas. Hey, let's allow the first goal. Let's have them get a goal on their first shot on net. Let's hear the post ringing all night. Let's get heavily outchanced and then just magically take over for 8 minutes and win the game. That's not the blueprint, but Hiller was in there. And what? That's two in a row? So there you go. Got to ride the hot hand. They've been doing that all year. I would expect Hiller in St. Louis, which might lead you to believe it'll be Ramo in Edmonton. I don't know. Maybe if they really want Hiller in Edmonton, they go to Ramo. Maybe they're not giving up on St. Louis like we are. Everyone seems to think it'll be 2 points in the bank. That's it, guys. We got to jump out of here. We'll do it all again tomorrow. We'll know more about the Kootenay Ice and the Calgary Hitmen. Game three tonight, 7 o'clock start, 6 o'clock. Hitmen warm up right here on your home Hitmen Hockey, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Get the fuck out of here.